the People's Republic of China, the miracle is gone. The economy is in free fall. What we're looking at here is the People's Republic of China must do dramatic things quickly in order to compensate for the unemployment, for the dip in growth, and housing. I welcome Victoria Herczig. She is an analyst for Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site. She is in Budapest, and she has the language so she can help me understand how it is that the Chinese Communist Party in Beijing is going to account for those 20 million residences without occupants now, bought, paid for, sold. What is to be done? Victoria, a very good evening to you. Thank you. You present that what Xi Jinping and his counselors are deciding is to go to Maoist remedies. What does that mean for housing? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thank you for having me. Yes, so China's real estate sector has been in the global attention for 3 years now, despite several rounds of proposed reforms and implemented reforms like mortgage lending, urban renovation projects, and also construction of cheap housing. The Chinese leadership has really struggled to stabilize housing investment and prevent major real estate firms from defaulting. And now the leadership and Xi himself are really frustrated with the lack of success. And a new strategy has just been announced by Xi himself. And it's somewhat similar to the Maoist ideology that emerged in the 1950s, 1960s, and well into the 1970s as well. So this strategy includes purchasing distressed properties to convert into government housing and constructing more subsidized housing for low and middle income families. So the objective, according to Xi and his advisors who are now developing this plan, is to raise the share of state-built affordable housing available for rent or purchase under certain conditions from about 5% to at least 30% of China's total housing stock. So this is basically, in simpler words, the state having a lot more control over the housing market, which is something that hasn't happened since the early 1990s, when China moved from state to private ownership. So this state ownership is a Maoist ideology. It started with Mao being the leader, and it was developed in the 50s and 60s.
5% of public housing now to 30% of public housing. My immediate thought is, what does that do to the private owners? What does it do to the lending rates for the private owners? Once you get to 30%, you've damaged all private ownership. Is there a plan for them? Because they didn't have to deal with that under the Mao stage. There was no private ownership.
Well, yeah. The thing is that there is no specific plan for private owners. It seems like the government now doesn't care about private ownership. So, you know, The problems the real estate sector has now was caused by this shift from state to private ownership. So the real estate sector did very well, a little too well under private ownership. Property prices soared, and there was a lot of debt in the early 2000s, and that debt just started to destabilize the financial sector. So yeah, now the government is not focusing on private ownership, which is an issue. So with these new reforms, maybe some problems that the real estate sector has now, those are going to be resolved, but more issues, more structural issues are going to be created. So this doesn't seem like a plan that can solve all the problems China has now, just in its real estate sector.
The number you use is 280 billion over 5 years. That must be a modest approach. What is common prosperity? How does that connect to this idea of public housing?
Well, common prosperity is an idea that Xi introduced, I believe, at the beginning of his first term. And it's about, so there is a very significant wealth gap in China. Well, it's not a unique problem for China, but it's very prominent in China. There are the coastal provinces. Those are wealthy. Tax sector is based there. Huge companies, banks, financial institutions, and trade is conducted mainly with those provinces. So wealth is like accumulated there. And there are the interior regions, mostly agricultural regions. Those are, well, a lot less wealthy. And minorities are accumulated in some of those provinces. Minorities are not treated equally, as we know, in China, although the Chinese leadership likes to present it differently. Yeah, so there is a very prominent wealth gap. And common prosperity is like, the idea is narrowing this wealth gap and redistributing some of the wealth that the coastal regions currently have to the interior regions and having all of China prosper, basically. So that's the idea.
Yes, what you've just established, subsidized housing, squeezing out private ownership and forcing people to live more modestly, all of that is going to lead to dissent. And therefore, the second idea Mao has had, what are the People's Armed Forces Department? What is that?
Yeah, so it's a really interesting new concept. So basically, these are militias, at least 16 state-owned enterprises set up volunteer armies, basically. There is also one private enterprise, I believe, but most of them are state-owned. And these armies, volunteer armies, are meant to handle unrest, like regional unrest. Let's take like a less wealthy interior province, and unrest breaks out because of people working in a factory not getting paid on time, which is quite a frequent phenomenon in China these days. And let's imagine this enterprise has its own militia. So then the unrest can be handled once. So that is why these armies are set up. And yeah, so at least 16 state-owned enterprises have those armies already. And the leadership is suggesting to all the enterprises of China to at least consider having such armies set up.
These are private, these are publicly volunteer forces, state-owned enterprise, like a steel mill or a hospital. And they're going to have,
that's right,
they're going to have armed volunteers whose job it is to suppress dissent, but that's putting people against people who work together. And that's Maoist?
Yeah, well, similar volunteer armies existed in the 1970s, early 1970s. They were set up at that time, in those years. So in those years, Maoism and Mao's leadership wasn't doing well. So his ideas that seemed to be very promising in the 50s and even 60s ended up not yielding what they were meant to yield.
Victoria, that's the Red Guard, yes? That's what he's talking about.
Well, yes, yes, actually. Yes, that was a very similar thing. And those volunteer armies were meant to tackle unrest because people were dissatisfied with Mao and his cabinet and all the leadership. The wealth gap was very, very wide, and dissent was very common.
They called them capitalist rooters. That's what they called them as they raided their homes and stole their jewelry, capitalist rooters. So that's, that they're not ruling that out, that they're going to denounce people for being selfish?
Well, at this point, it's it's quite clear that these militias are meant to tackle just unrest, but of course, incidents can happen. Unrest needs to be tackled because demonstrations in mainland China jumped to almost 2,000 labor strikes and demonstrations noted in mainland China last year, which is more than double the amount of the strikes in 2022. So this is the reality. Labor strikes need to be handled, and that's what she is doing in order to handle them.
Victoria Herzig in Budapest for Geopolitical Futures. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,